But as we've been looking at the fact that Jesus Christ came in the fullness of time, I want you to know that when we begin to look at the first Christmas, it turned out exactly the way God intended it to turn out. But when we look at it, I want you to know we have once again whitewashed a lot of that. Because just like Clark Griswold, we go, oh, this is how we want this Christmas to be. Many times we've looked back at the first Christmas and said, this is the way we want it to be. This is the way we want to remember it. When really it was much different than that. You know, when you look at the first Christmas and the birth of Jesus Christ, I'm not sure you're aware of this, but there's only one verse that actually talks about the birth. So there's 7,956 verses in Scripture, and only one actually proclaims the actual birth. The rest are talking about it, but only one focuses in on Jesus Christ, His birth, and that is in Luke chapter 2, verse 7. It basically says He was born, He was wrapped up, and He was laid down. That's it. That's so different than us, because when someone's born, what do we begin to do? We begin to take pictures. We begin to announce to everyone the length, the weight, and do they have a full head of hair? Are they bald? The color of their eyes. How's the mom doing? Oh man, their lips are so red and their skin is so... we begin to talk about this. Oh, they have the chubbiest cheeks. And yet, none of those descriptions are given to us about Jesus Christ. He was born, He was wrapped, and He was laid down. But when you begin to look at what surrounds that event, I want us to really see what Christ was coming into. You remember, it wasn't too long ago, I put some pictures up there of Jonah and the well, and we kind of laughed at the fact that we have painted that picture so different than what the reality was. You remember Jonah was, cooking something over open fire in the belly of the well, if you will. There was one that even showed him watching TV, like TVs existed and electricity flowing through a well. Somehow that was going to happen. And we've whitewashed it. And when you look at Christ, we've whitewashed what was going on. When you begin to look at the Christmas story, it's amazing. And just here's an example of maybe a typical Christmas card, but let me give you some examples of different Christmas cards, and it's amazing what we've done to the birth. Evidently, angels they must be members of an orchestra, and they showed up to play their stringed instruments. Somehow Santa Claus got in on this gig. Notice that the angels are children. Are women. We'll talk about that in a minute. And believe it or not, there are people who really think that there was a drummer boy who showed up to play his drum for Jesus. Matter of fact, one of my favorite Christmas songs is a rendition of the drummer boy, but he wasn't there. Complete fantasy. And look what we've done. We have whitewashed it. We've made it seem so beautiful and just, it just makes you go, that's just wonderful. It's just nice. It gives you that warm feeling, doesn't it? We think about Christmas, man. We think, I love, man, my girls, they have just, I love that they have this new tradition. When I bought my home and got in there, I'm a guy. I don't know what to do to decorate for Christmas. And my girl said, we got this. And so they decorate my house for Christmas. And I love the warm glow of those Christmas lights. And I leave them on almost all the time for this month because it's something new. And we think about, man, the warm glow of those Christmas lights. And then we hope here in Houston that it will at least get a little bit cold so we can do what? Not even light a fire, just turn it on, Because we like that idea. And that'll be fun. And that'll be, man, it's that sense of home. But that's not the way it was here. So if you have your Bibles, I hope you'll follow along with me and we'll see some things together that maybe you haven't seen before. I'm in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 1. We're actually not going to get to the birth of Christ. We're going to save that for Christmas Eve. But let's talk about some events that were surrounding that moment in time. So I'm in Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. Let me pray and then let's read the Word of God together. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that we will take your word in. And Lord, my hope this morning is not that my feeble words will wow anyone, but Lord, that we will truly begin to see the significance of you humbling yourself and coming here. That Lord, it was not this warm, fuzzy time that we try to portray it to be, but it was still the perfect time for the perfect Messiah to come. So, Lord, I pray that we'll be amazed by your word. We'll be amazed at what you did and how you orchestrated things. Lord, I love you. And it's in Jesus' name that I ask these things. Amen. Would you please stand as we read? And I'm also going to read a short passage out of Matthew. I think I've got it up there. I do. Okay, good. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Then I'm going to turn to Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Would you please be seated? Well, first of all, this story begins in Luke, and that's where I'm going to hang out most of the time, with Gabriel coming to Mary. And when Gabriel shows up, he has a message for Mary. Now, even in these particular images, you'll notice that the angels look like children, or they're very subservient to Mary. And I just want to share with you, just from an apologetic standpoint, that Gabriel is a masculine name. As a matter of fact, any time that angels are referred to in Scripture, it is in a masculine sense. As a matter of fact, there is no feminine word in the Greek for angels. And I'm not suggesting that the angels were men. They're not. They're different from us. But I'll just say, when this angel shows up, it is not Mary who is in control of the situation. It is the angel. It is the messenger. That's what an angel is, a messenger from God. And Mary is told, you're going to bear a son, and his name shall be Jesus. Now think about this. Mary is engaged. She's betrothed to Joseph. And she's looking forward to starting a life with her new husband as soon as what Joseph was supposed to be doing is preparing a home for Mary. That is the way the tradition was. As Mary is betrothed to him, he then goes to his home and he builds a room onto his father's house, so that when it's time, his father can say, this room is appropriate, it's ready for your bride, now go get your bride. And again, think about when Jesus describes his father's house, it is a house of many rooms. And then you'll remember that Jesus is asked, when are you coming back? And he said, I don't know, only the Father knows, because the Father is the one who would inspect the room, not the bride. Not the groom, the father of the groom would inspect the room and say, now it's time for you to go get your bride. So he's preparing this room. She's excited. She's going to be married to Joseph. And then she finds out that she is going to be pregnant. And she asks the question, how can this be? I just want to share with you, and I know we have younger children in here, but I just want to share with you that there are those who would say that we don't have to buy into, we don't have to believe in the virgin birth. And I would say, yes, we do, because it's in God's Word. There are those who would say, no, 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 you don't understand the Greek language. The word for virgin can just be young woman, and they are correct in that. It's the same word. But clearly the context tells us how to define the word. Because Mary is a young woman, but clearly when she finds out that she's going to be pregnant, her question is, how can this be? Because I'm a virgin. How could this possibly be? She knows how this works, and you adults, you know how this works. And she is asking the question, there's no way I can be pregnant. Well, as it goes on to say in the gospel of Luke, for nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing. I find it amazing, and I think I've shared this with you before, that people who say they are believers, people who are in the church say, I really have a problem believing this. And I'm going, with all of the miracles in Scripture, that's the one you have a problem with? But with God, nothing is impossible. Amen? But she hears this message from the angels. And it's there that I believe sometimes we have to pause there and begin to think about the situation that Mary is in. Gabriel shows up and delivers this news. You're going to be pregnant. He's holy. He's from the Holy Spirit, from God. He is God's son. He's going to reign on the throne of David forever. And then we're told this. Gabriel's gone. And here she is alone. How in the world does she begin to explain this to others? She now has to begin talking to her future husband. She's betrothed to Joseph. What about her parents? What about her future in-laws? What about her friends, her extended family? Hey, I'm pregnant, but I've been pure. And she's alone. There's no record we have anywhere of Gabriel showing up beside her going, oh yeah, everything she's saying is true. And there's a lot of things that are new to us as modern people. Man, we have computers and the internet and social media, but I got news for you. Gossip did not start with us. She's in this little town. An unmarried teenage girl, pregnant. And do you really think that everyone believed her story? We don't believe it today. Lots of people don't believe it today. Even those who proclaim to be Christians will say, I just can't buy into that. I would venture to say that many, I mean, adults, just think about it for a moment, if it was your child. Mom, Dad, I know what you're thinking, but that's not true. The Lord has done this. I love my children, but I mean, come on, let's be honest with one another. I don't know that I would buy that. All the plans that they had, and now things seem turbulent. And many times we're exactly the same way. We have our whole lives planned, don't we? We're talking about plans for Christmas, but we have all these plans. We have an idea of what we're going to do, how we're going to live, where we're going to go to school, where we're going to work, the place we're going to live, where we're going to go on vacations, how many kids are we going to have, where and when are we going to retire. And then all of a sudden, we're shocked when God goes, no, I got a different plan for you. It's not the one that you imagined. I remember many years ago, a little over 20 now, and I'd started my company and things were going well, and I thought, man, I've got my life planned. Just bought a new house, about to start having a family, and God came and said, nope, I have something else for you. And it's not architecture. And it's not animation. Matter of fact, it's nothing like that. I have something else for you to do. And some of you who've heard this testimony, you'll remember, man, I did not go, praise the Lord. I was like, this cannot be happening. All of my ducks are in a row right now. And Lord, you're now moving some ducks out of the way. And I remember going to visit with my pastor, Rodney Woon, and I was just saying, Rodney, this cannot be happening. And the same thing he shared with me, I will share with you. Paul, is he Lord? Of course he is, Rodney, I believe. And he has the right to interrupt your life anytime he wants to do his plan. And that's what he does with Mary. He interrupts her life and says, here's what you're going to do. And you've got to love what Mary says. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. But it's not just Mary. What about Joseph? We get a little insight to Joseph's thought. And I love her. That's my wife to be. I love her. But I don't believe her. Even her betrothed husband did not believe her, because what is he about to do? Divorce her quietly. I love this woman. Come on. Seriously? You've been pure, but you're pregnant? Come on, Mary. So I don't want to add to all of the gossip. I don't want to publicly humiliate you. By the law, she could have been put to death. So I'll just divorce you quietly. You can go have your life. Paul, I'll paraphrase here. I'll go find another maybe. But I'm not going to continue with this. I mean, don't you want to start out? I mean, in the dream that you find that one that you love and men, and she comes into the marriage not pregnant. Isn't that the dream? And now it's not happening. This is not this warm and fuzzy time. And I've gotten way behind on my slides. This is not angels as little children showing up and going, Mary, we got a story. This is someone that Mary's afraid. And the angel has to say, don't be afraid. I do have this good news, but I'm going to tell you something. It is going to change your life. Man, I wouldn't give this up now, but it certainly changed my life 20 years ago. That means selling my company. That means going back to school. And I was not a good student. And school was not something that I went, yay, I can't wait to go back again. But this is what the Lord, this is His perfect plan. Can I go on and say, man, not only now has Joseph now been visited by an angel and said, let me tell you something, I'm going to confirm what Mary has told you. And so we know that Joseph does not divorce her, marries her, and then waits until after she bears Jesus before he is with his wife. But I want to go back to Mary, because you know that Mary leaves her hometown and she goes and visits Elizabeth. Now, some people think there's nothing significant about that, but again, an unwed, pregnant woman in a small town where gossip, you know, I mean, I don't think it's a far stretch for me to say gossip was rampant. You know it's out there. And it isn't pleasant. And so she leaves and she goes and visits Elizabeth. It doesn't tell us that she was persecuted or anything like that. It doesn't say that. But she leaves and she goes and visits Elizabeth. Get out of that small town. Get out of where gossip is going on. And she sees Elizabeth. And you got to love that when it says that when Elizabeth hears her greeting, the baby in her womb, which is John the Baptist, leaps for joy. It wasn't but a couple of weeks ago, teenagers, I was talking to you about why we are pro-life. Here's a baby in the womb leaping for joy at the name, at the sound of his Messiah's mother's voice. It wasn't a clump of cells. It's the baby leaping for joy. What's interesting is that she goes and visits Elizabeth, who has had a completely different experience in the announcement and the birth of her child than what Mary will experience. If you go back to the story of Elizabeth getting pregnant, what's most interesting is it says that there was much rejoicing because Elizabeth's womb had been opened. And listen to what it says, the reproach of the people. In other words, they were talking about her because she couldn't get pregnant. Now she's pregnant and the reproach of the people would now be gone. This is a new day, a new beginning. How joyous. But I would venture to say it was exactly the opposite for Mary. Whereas there was much rejoicing, Elizabeth's womb had been opened, and while she's pregnant, how wonderful. And yet I would venture to say for Mary, it was, hey, did you hear about Mary? You know she's pregnant, right? You think her and Joseph were already fooling around? Or you think it's someone else? What do you think? And you know I'm not too far off the mark. You know I'm not. We're also told in Luke chapter 1 that when John the Baptist is born, the neighbors and the relatives all come around and they are proclaiming the great mercies of God and that Elizabeth has this child. When Jesus was born, where were all the relatives? Where were all the neighbors proclaiming what a wonderful thing, man? He's out of town in a manger. No relatives around him, bunch of farm animals. Quite a different picture. And if you think that I'm reading way too much into this text, I would challenge you to continue reading past the birth and go to the ministry of Jesus. Because adults, again, you and I both know there are names that are given to children who don't know who their father is. I don't have to say those names. Derogatory terms that are given you, and I don't have to say the name, you already know it. And later in the life of Christ, guess what is pointed out? Someone says, you don't even know who your father is, Jesus. That for 30 years that had been there. That I mean, You're going to talk to us about a heavenly father. You don't even know who your earthly father is. And if you go back and look at the Greek, believe me, they said it much in a much more derogatory way. So if you think I'm reading too much into this, you tell me why 30 years later they're still pointing their fingers at him going, you don't even know who your daddy is. Yes, Christ was coming to bring peace on earth, but this is not a peaceful, warm, fuzzy tub. I love the way Philip Yancey wrote about the birth of Christ. When you look at Mary, and it says, Mary says, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And Philip Yancey commented on this, and he said, how many times did Mary have to review the angel's words as she felt the Son of God kicking against the walls of her uterus? How many times did Joseph second guess his own encounter with an angel? Maybe it was just a dream. I mean, was that real? How many times did he question, is it just a dream, as he endured the shame of living among villagers who could plainly see the changing shape of his fiancée? Well, it was very turbulent, by the way. Not only what was going on around in Nazareth and the murmurings and the whisperings and the gossip and Mary leaving for a while and then coming back. And all of us know the experience of what it is to be the topic of gossip, and it is not a fun experience. But then there's something bigger than that going on, because Caesar is going, you know what? There's going to be a census, and I want to know exactly how many people I'm ruling over. So he does this. And again, we just kind of whitewash this a little bit, because we have these pictures of Mary just so calmly sitting on a donkey as she travels to Bethlehem. You know, I think back. At one time, when I believe it was with, it may have been Kaylee or Kelsey. They were on the verge of getting here, and Ramona and I had to travel to North Carolina. And we traveled in a SUV, well air-conditioned, radio, leather seats. And I believe she was about six or seven months pregnant. And I will tell you, she was miserable. I remember on the way back, all she could say is, my back is killing me. My back is killing me. And I'm just going, I can't make, I mean, these are the nicest seats I know. I mean, and Mary is traveling. She's traveling 80 miles. She is not just 9 months pregnant. She is 9 months and about to give birth. And ladies, this may be a point where I should step down and someone else, a woman, could get up here and say, you have no idea. Because all I can do is sympathize. I cannot empathize with what that is like, being at the very edge of pregnancy, about to give birth. And the idea now, hey, we're going to put you on a donkey and for a week travel 80 miles. A lot of murmuring over here, but you're right, Paul. You should sit down. You don't know. But Jesus is about to come. I was doing some, again, I was reading Yancey's take on this, and it was interesting. He said that when Queen Elizabeth II would visit the United States, the press would talk about the logistics of the Queen coming to the United States. And listen to what they wrote. She would bring 4,000 pounds of luggage, 2 outfits for every occasion that she would be attending while she was here. She would also bring an outfit for mourning in case someone died while she was here. She would be prepared to go to a funeral. They also brought 40 pints of plasma in case she was in an accident. They didn't want her getting other people's blood. She had to be taken care of. Toilet seat covers. Didn't want to sit on American toilets. Had to have the covers. She had her own hairdresser, two valets, a host of other attendants, and it was reported that if she was to visit a foreign country, it would cost about $20 million. Why do I tell you that? Because now we've got the situation with Mary, got the situation with Joseph. They're traveling 80 miles. She's riding a donkey, and Jesus is about to come. And when you look at what royalty in this world, what it takes for them to travel, and then you look at the fact that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who made and controls the entire universe, humbles himself and comes here with nothing. It begins to put into perspective Philippians 2, verse 5 through 8, when it says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. The one whom all things were made, and without him was not anything made that was made." He comes here with no fanfare, no luggage. He didn't get to take some of the things that he really liked from heaven and bring with him. He starts out as a single cell in the womb of Mary, so small that we couldn't see it with our naked eye. And he comes, he's born. Like all children who go through the womb and is born, he's smeared with blood. And that's the way he would come into this world. And that's the way he would die for this world. So it was the perfect time for the perfect Messiah. But I want to encourage you that when you're going, "Man, this Christmas isn't working out the way I thought it would. I thought it was going to be this, and I thought it was going to be that, and so-and-so didn't even show up. And when they did show up, they didn't bring the potato salad like they were supposed to. And our table, it wasn't made to hold this many people. Now we got to figure out where we're going to put Cousin Eddie. And children, I didn't get what I wanted." We have all of these high expectations about what this time of year is supposed to be like. And I just want to encourage you that, man, it was perfect because this is the way God designed it. Amen? But from the human perspective, there's nothing about this we would look at this story and go, "Oh yeah, that's the way I would have done it." I just want to encourage y'all this morning that I do know that this is a tough time for a lot of people. I do know that expectations can be up here and then reality is down here. I do know that many times we don't only paint the future Christmas only a week away, but we paint the first Christmas in a way that we want to think of it. But let's be real about what happened and how it happened. And then let's celebrate that Jesus came. Amen. King of heaven, come. King of heaven, come down. Let your glory reign. This morning, I don't know where your spiritual walk is. I don't know if you're hurting this morning because life is tough at times. But just the same way as I wouldn't have planned the first Christmas like this, I know that God has a plan, and it's a perfect plan, and He will execute it perfectly. And I want to ask you, and you ask me, let's trust Him in what He does. Amen? Let's trust Him that He knows what He's doing. This morning, if you just need to come and pray and just say, you know what, it's not working out the way I thought. If you just need to come and pray and, you know, Paul, I need the Lord. I've been trying to do this on my own, and when I look at the way things work out, it doesn't make sense to me. But clearly, Mary, who, this doesn't make sense. She says, I'm a servant. Whatever your will is, whatever you say, let it be. Maybe we need to have that attitude as we go into this last week of this Christmas season. Maybe you need a church home. And the Lord has brought you here this morning, and He's saying, this is where I want you to be. Man, this didn't work out the way we thought. Those of you who helped me start this church, you know, this is not the way we pictured this. But man, this is exactly the way God wanted it done. So what will you do this morning? How will you respond to it? The praise team's going to come and lead us in another song, and then we're done this morning. I just want to encourage you to respond to the Lord. Let's pray.